aware of what how privileged we were to have the training this weekend and to be challenged. And I think I shared with somebody that for me, it was quite stretching going to the outreach yesterday. And it kind of felt like everything inside of me is like, get out of here. but luckily I had my kids with me. So that was nice. And I think what I was just encouraged by was when we went through the exercise, and like for our little group, it was kind of hit and miss. You know, it wasn't just like all bad or all good. There at least was one salvation. It was kind of, it was a mixed bag a little bit, like, and I was like, I wonder if this works. You know, I wonder if this is the best way to do it. And then the nice thing was getting back to the group about 45 minutes later, and then just hearing all the testimonies. And then I just realized, wow, this is probably, sad to say, probably in 7 years that we've been here, the most effective witnessing we've done as a church. I think we counted, we shared the gospel with over 100 people in that time. And we had, 34 people respond, to the gospel. And so I realized you can't judge it by how you think it went. And you can't now decide this works or it doesn't work based on your experience. We've got to be faithful and we've got to go and we've got to be obedient. The Lord does the rest and He decides. He already knew who we were all going to go to. So it was, I think what I'm trying to say is was, it was stretching. I knew it was going to be stretching, but that is why we need to be stretched. But it was amazing partnering with the Lord of the harvest and saying yes to that. And so I shared with somebody this morning as well. It's not the culture for our church yet to do this. But you know what? Praying for the sick wasn't either. We didn't have healing services until Jolene stepped out and said, we're doing healing services. And she didn't know what she was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. You didn't know what you're doing. But the Holy Spirit knew what He was doing. He just needed one sucker to say, I'll do it. I'll say yes. Here's me. Here's a body, Lord. You can work through me. And I feel there's two things that's happened in our church over the last few years. We've become a church that actually believes that people are going to get healed in our meetings. It's become a normal thing for us to expect healing in our meetings. And number two, we've become a testimony-giving church. We share testimonies. Jolene has pioneered a lot of that for us. But I just realized, you know what? We're not yet an evangelizing church. We've got some people that evangelize in our church. But we're not yet an evangelizing church. But we weren't a testimony-giving church, and we weren't a healing-believing church in the sense that we now are. And so I believe there's a culture shift coming, but we just need to say yes. We need to say yes to get stretched. We need to say yes to a month's time when Pastor Jade comes. We can't now decide, okay, well, that was it. Ticked it off. I've done my evangelism for Jesus. He's happy with me now. I've ticked that box. Now I can just go back to my old way of doing Christianity. And so obviously this varies, we all got different, we're all living it out in different degrees. One of the nicest testimonies for me yesterday was going to a lady at the market. in fact, it was Mul. She was my partner. Mul, nie Mul. Mul Boonsire. Your mom is like, she was letting them have it. They didn't, whether they wanted it or not, they were getting it. I was like, Exxon at Merle. So we ended up speaking to, and she's got the card. Have you seen this card? Can I ask you a question? and she's showing this lady, and this lady was very gracious, an older lady, sitting there with her vonkelwankies and her groot donker brille. And our man is, with our man sits there, is like, who are these people? Anyway, but they graciously entertained us. And they were very kind. And she was very kind. And you could see she weren't going to go and buy what we were selling, but she was very kind. She was listening to us. And then she actually said, "You know what? Are you from Shofar Church?" I said, "Yeah, from Shofar Church." He said, "I know Derek and Rosita. Yes, they live in the same estate as we do. And you know, when you speak to Derek and Rosita, they're always so friendly and they talk about everything. But somewhere you will know that you're going to get a message about Jesus or the gospel in there. They just slip it in there." And I was like, "I know those people, they're from Shofar." And so it is But that is encouraging for me, because I realized, you know, we don't know what you're doing. We had training this weekend, but you're going out there doing your thing. And that's why I had the testimonies last week. Because those testimonies just came out randomly at intercession over the last 2 or 3 weeks as we prayed for this weekend. And I realized, man, you know, Dion's going out and Felicity's going out and Liesl's going out. And it was encouraging. It stirred me as well to do it as well. So tonight we've heard a lot about sharing the gospel this weekend and getting people saved and an urgency for the harvest. And tonight I thought, let me jump on the bandwagon and speak about the very next step. Because we know, I think it was Nastasha that mentioned that, you know, 5% is the role of the evangelist, and then a person gets saved. And I think half of us, I think Dave who was like, "Are you sure? You want to give your heart to Jesus?" Okay. You know, I think some of us were so surprised that in some cases it was so easy. You know what I'm saying? In some cases, it was unexpectedly easy. And it's nearly like that is like 5% of what needs to happen. And then you're literally sitting with a newborn baby in the spirit, right there on the main street or at the market. And we often joke with William, he's like, "Wat was my eerste woorde, papa?" You know, and then I normally say something along the lines of, "Goo goo gaga." Or when I'm naughty, I say, "Papa." but just like we can all relate, especially the parents here, when the baby comes out, it's incredible. And all the pain and all the trauma and all the what you've been through kind of it goes on the back burner, and you just behold life in front of you and the preciousness of a newborn, and you realize, I'm it. I need to care for this little baby, this little boy, this little girl. And if I don't do that, they literally are defenseless. They can't help themselves. They just lie there and go, goo goo gaga. And it's not precisely the same in the spirit, but like I shared, I don't know where I shared this, but I shared a message before that's called My Second Birthday. We all have a natural birthday. You can say mine's 18 April 1976 on Easter Sunday. I was born in a little town called Queenstown in the Eastern Cape. And that's my natural birth. That's my birthday. But you know what? When I was 15 years old, I had my second birthday, which is probably more important than my first birthday. But we don't celebrate that. And I love it when Christians share my testimony on Facebook. 15 years ago, I gave my life to Jesus on this day, and it's the best decision that I ever made. And you realize they actually celebrate their second birthday more than their first birthday, because they realize, as we hear in John chapter 3, you must be born again. You must be born again. And so when we get born again, we are literally in the spirit. We are innocent. We're a new creation, because that's what the word said. Literally, our spirits get regenerated when we get saved. When you say yes to Jesus, you actually become in the spirit a new creation. And I experienced that. It's there's a transformative work that happens in your spirit on that day when you come to Jesus. And in that sense, you're undiscipled. You are just a brand new creation that said yes to Jesus. And so 5% happens there, and it's probably the most important 5%, but 95% lies ahead in making you look more like Jesus. Not this way. Ja, nee, maybe, no. No, you can't do dag anymore. No, you're a new creation. And so if somebody doesn't tell you that, and if somebody doesn't choose to walk a road, or if you don't slot in to a church, into a life-giving church, well, then you are pretty much a decision for a day. And then the wolves come for you. And, you know, let's not go into the biblical narratives, but the enemy loves the seed format of a promise. He loves the seed format of Emmanuel, because he knows he's vulnerable. And so, what does it say? There's a great sound, the sound of Rachel weeping for her children, like never been heard before, because the enemy came for Jesus. And many other little boys died with him because of Herod's being threatened by another king. And the same with Moses. It's in infant format that you're at your most vulnerable. And so I think what I'm trying to say is we are sitting this evening with a lot of goo goo gaga in our ears. We are sitting this evening with many follow-up cards that need attention. We are sitting now with... And we've went to the harvest, and the Lord allowed us for the ripe fruit to come off the tree. But as we heard this weekend, if we just leave the fruit there, what's going to happen? It's gonna rot. It's gonna rot. Somebody's gonna eat it. Yeah. Om Johnny sal weet wat gaan met die oeste gebeur as die boer net kyk, hoe dis 'n mooi appel. Kyk hoe hy nou van die boom af geval. Hy is nou perfek daar waar hy lê. O, kom ons kyk hom van die kant. Kom kyk hom van die kant. Hy is so pragtig. O, ek gaan nou slaap. Kom ons kyk hoe lyk hy môre, en 'n dag word 'n week, en 'n week word 'n paar weke, en dan hoe lyk hy appel? Nee, iemand moet vir die appel sorg. Iemand moet die appel optel en wat in julle bins druk en hom na oom Johnny toe vat, want oom Johnny gaan hom op die regte temperatuur hou, sodat hy oor see kan gaan in 'n container op die regte temperatuur en vir 'n supermark in Europa verkoop word, en iemand gaan die appel byt en hy gaan lekker wees, nê? Nee. So somebody needs to disciple the apple, look after the apple, anders gaan die appel vrot, nê? Nee. And I'm just aware of the fact that we can pat ourselves on the shoulder and say, great, share your faith bootcamp. Let's do church as we normally have done. And we can't do that. And so we need to be aware of the fact that it's all hands on deck this week. And so I actually want to invite all of you sitting here to Wednesday night, because that is where we're going to take the first step in the discipleship journey with people, to come around them, nearly like that caring mother hen that says, ons gaan die wolwe weghou en ons gaan jou sterk kry, jy gaan eers melk drink en dan gaan jy begin papkos eet, en na ruk, praise the Lord, you will eat steak eventually, okay? But eventually. And Jesus is not saying, I'm going to come down from heaven and help you with the discipleship process. He's saying, you do it, just like we heard this weekend. You share the gospel. I will go with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. But I just realized, discipleship is a major thing. And, you know, and some of us get it right here. And some of us also need to grow. Just as we've grown in evangelism, we need to grow in discipleship, because it's a skill. I was so encouraged when we were in America, and we were sitting at Jolene's graduation. And for those of you that don't know, she's been doing an online school 4 years calendar, four calendar years, but 3 years academically. And I've also shared with you, major commitment for us financially. We both paid for our studies, my studies a few years ago, and her studies. Now, I don't want to tell you how much our studies cost us. You know, it's not like we had a bursary or went to mom or dad. They're like, leave and cleave. So we've left and we're cleaving. So it was an investment for both of us, and we did it for ourselves. We did it because we were both hungry to learn more, not for a degree or a certificate or a diploma or anything like that. In fact, both of our degrees or certificates, I don't even know where they are. They're at the bottom of some cupboard in our house. So that which we did for ourselves, to be discipled and to grow. And so it was a major, major commitment, both from me and from her, to be exposed and to learn to grow. And in her case, she's doing it in America time, which means class starts at 11 o'clock at night and goes till 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, sometimes twice a week. And so that's what she did for many years. And so you heard our sabbatical story, when we decided we're going on sabbatical and we want to fulfill our family dream, the first thing I asked her is, when's her graduation? Because we haven't been able to attend any of the first year or the second year graduations. We graduate you over Zoom at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not the same. And that's when Eskom kicks out and you miss half of your graduation. Quite a letdown. And so we had the privilege of being at her graduation this year, and I was really impacted by this graduation ceremony. And in this case, you know, they got first year, second year, third year. I can't remember, at your graduation, was it all the years or was it just? It was just the third year, which is by far the smallest class. And then family, not even everybody can come. I think you get allotted a few kind of tickets. You have to kind of apply and then you get tickets. But they can't have the graduation in the church hall of 1,000 people. They have to book the civic theater in town. That's how big the graduation is. And so you're sitting in an auditorium probably of about 3,000 people. And I love their graduation. You first worship for over an hour, and it's just being in the Lord's presence. But then I sat there, and then, you know, it's academics, and they're calling one student by next. And I mean, you're sitting with hundreds of students from all over the world, and I sat there, and because I knew and was exposed, I was kind of a third party student as well. Ek was 'n roofkyker, okay? On a, I would sit just to the left, to the right of the screen sometimes. I couldn't keep up with the hours. But many times I'd kind of listen and sometimes listen with one ear. But I'm aware of the process that she went through to get to that moment where somebody shakes your hand. I can't remember if they ticked you on the head or whatever. I think you got a degree or something. That was the moment. That was the moment, and that was not the moment. You see, you can make it all about that moment when you get a piece of paper, but a piece of paper means nothing, essentially. What really matters is the nights that she sat through, listening, being changed, saying yes to a Zoom call and no to a body crying for sleep. That was the process of discipleship that she went through over 3 years. And I can see the change. You don't even know it, but we've all changed because of her yes. You've all changed because of my yes to study as well for 2-3 years. Because it's fed me, and what I've, you know, what feeds me, I bring to the church as well. And what I'm saying is, we said yes to a discipleship process, and as I sat there, I realized that I'm sitting with people that are now going to all the nations of the world, because that's the makeup of their couple of thousand students. They come from all over the world, and changed people go and change the world. But you know what? It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen with one altar call. Yes, sometimes we respond to altar call and the Holy Spirit fills us, and there's dramatic change like we heard this morning. We've all got testimonies of encounters, and a lot happens in an encounter. But Jesus works with both encounters and come and walk the road of discipleship with me. He didn't just lay hands on them and say, boom, there it is, you change, you can run to the Great Commission. He said, no, leave what you're doing and follow me, follow me. And so I think what I'm trying to say is discipleship is a process, and it's the process that lies ahead for a couple of people that responded over this weekend. But actually, we're all in the game, because people get discipled by other Christians. And so I nearly want to say, roll call, roll call. We need you all hands on deck in the next while to help us disciple people that have come through. You know what's the best thing about an encounter one on Wednesday night? Is when the participants look around them and they see, wow, there's more Christians here. And the Christians come and share testimonies. And they realize, wow, look at this one. Listen to that one. They've been on this journey longer than me. I want to be like them. I can see something. I can hear something. When that person shared testimony, I need that. It's a little bit like when you're sitting at one of our fancy restaurants and you see the waiter coming past and you're like, waiter, I'll have what they're having. You know, and so you kind of want that effect. You want them to see the life of other Christians and for them to say, I need that. You see, the test of a disciple is not so much, how do I say this? Let me use an illustration. We joked about this. So in her study environment, there were a couple of what we call pastors. Okay, so they pastors that pastor, say, about 30 of them at a time. Okay, and there are many of them because there are many students. And over time, as you spend time in this environment, you start to learn the different pastors, because they would facilitate meetings, they facilitate church services, they facilitate encounters, and you start realizing, okay, this one is a little bit like this, and this one's a bit more focused on this, and this one speaks a little bit like this one, and this one uses a bit of body languages, and this one goes, hey, and that one, you know, doesn't, and this one's quiet. And then you see the students, and the students also go, hey, and ho, and they start sounding and looking and behaving and even using the same little phrases and things, and you're like, that's their disciple, that's their disciple. And you know what? It's meant to be like that. That is a sign that you have been discipled. And you know what that means? It means you've been around that person long enough to observe and to say, like they did, Rabbi, teach me how to pray, like the disciples said to Jesus. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that there's also a cost in discipleship, and the cost needs to be paid by all of us. It needs to be paid by the elders of this church. It needs to be paid by me and Jolene as pastors of this church. It needs to be paid by the small group leaders, especially the small group leaders. Need to pay this cost. And we need to decide, number one, are we going to be an evangelizing church? And number two, are we going to be evangelizing and then a disciple-making church? And then we can talk about disciple-makers that make disciples and make disciple-makers, because there's a difference. And so, I just want to encourage us that I think this is what's lying ahead for us. And I'm really excited about this Matthew 28, the well-known scripture. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always to the end of the age. And I love this verse 19. It's not like it's ambiguous. It's pretty, pretty clear. Go. Okay, in case you don't understand go, it's go. It's not stay, it's go. Okay, what we did this weekend is we goed. Okay, we goed. It's not right grammar, but we goed. Okay. Ons het gegaan. Okay, ons het nie vergaan nie, maar ons het gegaan. Okay, so go and do what? Get them saved and run back to your church and have your amazing worship meeting. Go and make disciples of all nations. So number one, go. Number two, make disciples. Number three, baptize them. Okay, so we need to talk about getting the warm water bath, baptism bath back into church, because this this cold weather is not conducive for our baptizing obedience. But in any case, so number one, we need to go. Number two, we need to make disciples. Number three, we need to baptize them. And number four, we need to teach them. And that's what's going to happen on Thursday. And so what I want us to do in closing, I want us just for 5 minutes just to come into agreement for everybody that got saved this weekend at the market yesterday and this morning. I think in total, we probably, 40, 45 names that we have to pray for. Some of them are recommitments for sure. But we take them, and so let's pray for them right now, and then I want us to pray number two for Wednesday night, that they would come and that there would be the discipleship journey would start for them, and that's it. Is that all right? And then lastly, of course, I invite you to come to Wednesday night if you can. You're most welcome. You can just tell your small group leader, the pastor asked me to come. I'm not going to be at small group this week. Okay, so let's do groups of two or three. Find somebody and let's pray. Pray for the new believers and pray for Wednesday.